What if, when we still have some gas left in the tank, we call a timeout? We do something that's going to rejuvenate us, that's going to give us dopamine, oxytocin, endorphins, the things that we need to get back into the work.
Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. Mike Vardy once again joining you with another productive conversation, this time around with my friend Gary Ware. Gary and I have known each other for quite a long time. He actually appeared at my virtual event in 2021, The Big Ready. We've known each other from other conferences as well and shared the stage many times before. He's all about play. He helps professionals level up their confidence, creativity, and happiness using play. We're going to talk about the productive power of play. We also allude to some of the stuff that was going to happen at the Big Ready, because this interview was recorded before we actually had the Big Ready. But it's an absolute treat to finally have Gary on the podcast, and I can't wait to share it with you. So let's just share this conversation now. Here is my discussion with Gary Ware here on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. Yeah, this is take two. We did this a couple of years ago in San Diego, and it was a really well-filmed discussion. But, you know, when the audio isn't great, you can't really do much with it. So I have lots of B-roll that we can use leading up to some of the stuff we want to talk about, but you can't really use the audio. So I'm glad we're getting the chance to do this today. It's about time. We've known each other for, gosh, how many years have we known each other now for?
Well, over 10.
Yeah, because WDS, right? Like, I think that
we
met at WDS. And a lot's changed over the 10 years that we've known each other, right? I want to talk to you about play and the productive power of play. I think that that's something that we don't really look at often enough. I've had Kirsten Milliken on the show before, and she talks about play and ADHD and stuff like that. Play ADHD is the name of her book. I'll link it in the show notes. But you and I've shared the stage before at other events. Of course, you're sharing the stage at the Big Ready virtually in here in 2021 as we're recording this. It's coming up in the next week. But why don't people leverage the power of play to the same degree as maybe anything else when it comes to productivity?
Play is usually associated with kids, and it's associated as something that's frivolous that you just do, you know, to do. Play can be associated with goofing off. But a lot of times when you think about productivity and you're trying to get in the zone, you overlook those things that are going to help you get an advantage. And right, that's what I see play as. I see play as an advantage. But even myself, as someone who has the knowledge, see the research, and experienced it firsthand, I still get caught up in, you know what, let me power through.
Right.
Let me, you know, I have things I need to do. I want to knock this out. I really enjoy doing this. And I don't realize that my, you know, power bar is depleting, and, you know, it's kind of hard to shift gears and, you know, call a timeout to replenish. And that's why I feel like a lot of people, you know, they don't place play where it needs to be. And also, you know, it's conditioning. When I grew up, my dad said, son, you can play when the work is done. So that had been always my internal narrative of, I get a chance to play when I finish all my work. But
you know, that's
fact of the matter is,
that's fascinating, because my wife and I have had this discussion with about my son. And I grew up in the same way. Latchkey kid. You and I can nerd out. We nerded out before we jumped on the call about, like, the different things that, like, Transformers. And you could see, if you're looking at this right now, people have seen my background before. You can't even see right now, but I've got, like, a Back to the Future Transformer there, like the DeLorean, Blaster and Perceptor above it. Like, I watched Transformers, G.I. Joe. We would get home. Our parents were both working. And they'd be like, okay, when you get home, chores first, play second. Chores first, homework, play, then play. And it became conditional on, like, you didn't get to play until that. And my wife and I have had this conversation. It was one of the things we had to get past with our kids. And remember, as kids get older, their play becomes different. My daughter is now going on 16 years old. Her version of play is very different than my son's version of play, who's 10, right? But one of the things I've had a real struggle with is breaking that pattern of conditionality, you know, the idea of You don't get to play until the dishes are done, your homework's done. Whereas my wife's like, no, they've worked all day at school. They should come home, get the chance to play, and then gear up back into the work session, which I've always thought is, well, yeah, but if they go play, they may not be able, they're going to get so wrapped up in it. How are they going to do the work? So, or are they going to be willing to do the work? And with discipline with kids, it's a bit different. But how do you take something like that, like what we were raised on, which is you don't get to play until the work is done. How do you flip that switch, or how do you take that, you know, upbringing that many people have? I mean, I know you and I aren't the only ones, and say, no, it's okay. You can play. Play is part of the process.
Agreed. And the first thing is unpacking it and realizing that there are different forms of play. There is that play that is, you know, the goofing off, that is just play for the sake of play. But there's also, so I call this purposeful play.
Okay.
They have, you know, different purpose. And just like a professional athlete, you know, take, for example, Michael Phelps, Tiger Woods, they wouldn't just go in and start, you know, hitting 18 holes without warming up. Michael Phelps is not going to just jump in the pool and, you know, do 100 meters without doing proper warm up.
Right.
I look at play the same way, as in, you know, I want to be as creative as possible. I want to get into deep work. I want to be able to get into the flow. But if I am going straight from whatever I did before into that work, it takes some time to get into. So why not time box it, give myself 5 minutes, and what if we can prime our brains so that we can be more creative when we need to? And then, because, you know, we both like, you know, comic books and video games, realize that we only have so much as far as a power meter of creativity, power meter of productivity or whatever. It only has so much. What if instead of waiting till we're completely depleted, what if, you know, when we still have some gas left in the tank, we call a timeout. We do something that's going to rejuvenate us, that's going to give us dopamine, oxytocin, endorphins, the things that we need to get back into the work. And then, again, we get back into the work and we're able to pick up where we left off because, again, our brain is still working on it. Or like, for example, you know, say you're writing or you're doing something where, you know, you need to use your creative brain. Imagine if you know, this is just part of the Pomodoro method or whatever method you subscribe to. But instead of like what most people do on their breaks, maybe scroll through social media, what if you did something that is engaging? And the cool thing is, because like anytime there's like an ellipse, anytime there is some sort of pause, mm-hmm. your brain's like, oh, what do I do? So if you're a writer, imagine instead of like, oh, let me just get through a few more sentences. Imagine if you strategically paused and had that cliffhanger, did something that's going to, you know, pump up the juices. Then you came back. I bet you your brain, again, was trying to work out some of those creative problems, and you will jump back in and be more focused.
Oh, I love the idea of a cliffhanger. I think that's kind of cool because how many things are you're left wanting more, right? Like we'll go back to TV shows and stuff like that, like or comic books or movies. I mean, we talked about the Avengers, Marvel Cinematic Universe, like Empire Strikes Back. Like there's two movies, Empire Strikes Back and Avengers Infinity War, that end with cliffhangers. Like the bad guy has essentially won. What's going to happen next? And then you have to wait a whole year, or back with Empire, 3 years for it to actually bear fruit. But I think that that's actually like, so what I think would be awesome, and you mentioned the Pomodoro technique, is what if you took one of those 25 minute Pomodoro sessions, and when that timer went off, you leave it on a cliffhanger and then you take that 5 minute break. And then, of course, as you know, in the Pomodoro technique, you're not supposed to go back to the same thing you were doing before. You're supposed to do something completely different. So you could alternate between work, play. And in some instances, and in essence, I think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, that work becomes a form of play or a gateway to play, which then lets you bring your best self to that work, right?
Agreed. And in that situation is one of those things, give and take. Because when we were kids, we went to recess, mm-hmm. right? You know, I grew up in the States and elementary school, you know, we worked for, you know, we were in class for 2 hours or whatever the case might be. We went out and we played for a bit, we replenished, and then we came back and we were focused. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, imagine like that is something that you're looking forward to. So I like to call it a playlist, you know, I like to think ahead. What are the things that I could do so that I can be efficient with my time? So when that break does happen, I'm not like, oh, what do I do? And then, like, you know, so many people, like, your 5 minutes are up and then you didn't get any break because you spent too much time trying to decide. But imagine in advance you had something to pick from. But now, like, your brain is working on this behind the scenes. You get back into it, you're excited that, hey, guess what? There's something else that I can look forward to. And you have these series of cliffhangers that, again, is pulling you through the work, and it doesn't feel like work.
Which you already getting have, into. Yeah, you already have those cliffhangers anyway, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're already there. Like, there's going to be instances where you get interrupted for a meeting, or yes, you can't, or you've come across a bottleneck in your project because you're waiting on something, or someone's not, one of your colleagues is, you know, said, well, I don't have that ready yet. So it becomes, you're waiting on someone rather than something. So you encounter these all the time. Instead of wallowing in the despair of not being able to make progress with it, look at it as a cliffhanger to say, oh, I wonder, you know, let's move on to something else, or let's take that pause and figure out, maybe manipulate what you could be doing when it comes back or whatever. I think that because what I think happens, especially with some of the clients I work with, is when they get stuck, they don't try to, they think about ways that they can get unstuck. And often that's, let me go, like you said, look at social media. Let me check emails. Let me do those things that are, there's a mundanity or a mundanity to them where it's like, okay, I know I can make some progress on it, but it's not enticing or exciting. It's definitely something you need to do. But if you go in with that, think of them maybe as commercial breaks, right? Like, with, yes, you know, like the email, oh, I'm waiting on this. Well, it's time for a commercial break, email or social media. And it's like, but then you time that. So it's like, all right, I'm only going to spend, how long is a commercial break? About 3 minutes. I'm going to spend 3 minutes on these emails or 5 minutes. And this is where timing can take hold. And again, this is where I think a tool like the Pomodoro technique can be helpful, because if you just go in, and this is, I want to lead to this question. If you just go in with a tool or a mechanism without a, like you said, purpose behind it, then it's not really all that helpful. It's kind of like when you get a new app, right? And you say, hey, the app's going to do it for me. Not unless you've got purpose behind it. Otherwise, you're really just fiddling and you're, as I say, doing productive and not being productive. But I also want to ask you, do you think that apps and taking on new apps is a form of play that we as adults take on because it's something shiny and new and it's like a game of sorts? And if so, how do you think that we can make sure that we don't get sucked into that to the point where it's like, oh, where'd all this time go? I've been playing with this app and I haven't really done anything, because I think that's something that happens too.
You're absolutely right. And this is, again, why the sort of notion behind play is, you know, can be seen as a bad thing. Because with everything, there's good and bad. You know, there's right, light side, there's dark side. And if you aren't, you know, it goes back to intentionality. Mm-hmm. If you aren't intentional with the things that you are putting your attention to, you know, yes, you can get sucked up and it can lead to bad stuff. And so I absolutely love the idea of, like, yeah, apps can be seen as play. And like with any game, you know, there needs to be structure. There needs to be time. I know, and I guess with a lot of these apps, they are designed to suck up as much of your attention as possible.
So are games. And, I mean, think about Fortnite. Think about Minecraft.
Yes.
Like, you can't, quote, win those games. Like, you can't win. There's no, the only games I like to play, honestly, are WWE pro wrestling games, because there's a match. If anything sports oriented, I like, because the win happens and it's normally in a short period of time. You can play one game and win, right? Like a four quarters of Madden, or you know, two halves of FIFA or whatever, or something that is not a multiplayer game where you have to be online and then there's always this progress. Because I think the other thing that can happen in that area, and I know this happens on social, so it certainly happens in gaming, where if you don't keep up, then you get left behind, and that makes the game less enticing, because you're not as, your friends are like four levels ahead of you and you're behind them, right? So that's why I mean, my son plays Fortnite, my son plays all like Roblox and all that stuff, but that you can't win those. Like, there's no winning. But like a game like Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which I played a lot, there's an outcome. You can finish it. And yes, there's side quests and all that stuff. But I think that with apps, the same, you can't win the app game. Like, the it's just not going to happen.
No. And so again, with play and games, there are so many different modalities. And what you just described are the two different types of games. There's a game called a finite, and then there's a game called an infinite game.
Right.
And there's this book called Finite and Infinite Games, and it talks about that as a sort of methodology for life. And Simon Sinek recently did a book where he explained it in a less boring fashion. But basically, the challenge with a lot of these things is that most people don't know the game that they're playing. They're in an infinite game and they're treating it like a finite game, mm-hmm. and they're getting frustrated, or they're in a finite game and they're treating it like an infinite game, because they have completely different rules. They have completely different sort of mindsets. And that's where a lot of the sort of rub happens. And so, for example, getting back to work, work is essentially like an infinite game. If you think about the work, your body of work, it's an infinite game, but we're trying to treat it like a finite game that has a beginning and an end.
Right, right. Which is why we strive for work-life balance instead of just balance. Right?
Yes, exactly. How about, yeah, and I even take it a step further and say harmony.
We've talked about that before too. Although now I'm back into Dr. Fate, as we talked about, and Dr. Fate... So Dr. Fate has said, see, I can nerd out with you about this. Dr. Fate said he works for the Lords of Order, right? Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And he fights against, he's an agent of the Lords of Order. He fights the Lords of Chaos. But one of his quotes is, "I am not for order or chaos. I am for balance," right?
Yes, because, right.
And Vision, who we talked about as well, the Marvel character, he's got this quote at the end of Age of Ultron where he says, "Humans are odd. They think chaos and order are two different things when they're not. And they try to control things that they can't," right? And so I think that to your point, that's a like the idea of the finite game and the infinite game, we get confused and conflated because we want that certainty, right? But we don't know necessarily where to look for it. We're trying to engineer it where it can't be engineered, right?
Yes.
And if you don't know, like you said, if you go into Roblox with the idea that you're going to win the game, no. You can't, because there will always be, and life's the same. Like, there will always be, and Srini is probably going to talk about this at the Big Ready to a degree, is Srinivas Rao, who wrote The Art of Being Unmistakable, Why Only is Better Than Best, right? Is this idea that if you are focusing on trying to be the best of one thing, there will always be somebody that is better than you at it. Mm-hmm. And if you can get past that and be okay with it, you're going to be much better off than if you keep chasing and pursuing and trying to, quote, win that game. But harmony, I mean, I've used the idea of harmony, but once you throw the idea, once you put that adjective that's not needed, work life, in front of it, it doesn't make any sense. Because like you said, work is infinite. And now what about life, though? Is life infinite?
Well, both of them are going to have an endpoint.
Right, right, right.
But
at least as far as we are, I mean, think about
yes.
it. When you and I are both parents, when we're no longer here, our legacy will carry on in our kids and then their kids. So while we won't be here, and someone asked me once, like, what do you think about the afterlife and stuff? I'm like, I think that the afterlife is more like you have a cassette tape. You are an original cassette tape, but you're, and so what you do is every person that you go to, I say that you're giving them, like, so you and I, we've known each other for 10 years. You have a copy of my tape. I gave you a copy of my tape. You gave me a copy of yours. And I will, and that goes, and basically, then I pass lessons I've learned for you on to somebody else, but now it's like a second generation. So it's removed, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, like old cassette tapes, the more you recorded over them, the less audio quality existed, to the point where sometimes it was, or if you played it a lot, the same thing would happen, right? So my kids probably have the best copy of my tape and my wife. But then, you know, my friends probably have like the next best. And so the point is that your legacy is kind of like carried in that tape. And the quality of it is the quality of the connection that you had with that person, right? And so when we're no longer here, you know, if someone read your work or saw me speak or whatever, and it really impacted them, then the quality of the tape that I passed on to them was much greater than, say, the person who saw a social media post from me once or heard about me from someone else, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that and I know we're going a bit deep in the weeds here, but that to me is how life kind of continues and becomes infinite, or at least there's a legacy element there that you don't get to necessarily, you don't get to control. Again, you don't get to decide. That said, the way you play during your life, I think can help at least shape it to a degree. But like anything else, you don't get to tell someone what they think about you or the things you've done or whatever. It's all in the actions you take. We'll get back to my conversation with Gary Ware right after these messages. Play is a source of joy, and it's a source of happiness. But do you have something that interferes with your happiness? Do you have something that is preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe you've overcommitted, or you're overwhelmed by all the things that you have on your to-do list. Maybe you just have a bit of imposter syndrome, anxiety around certain things. I know I've come across levels of anxiety and overwhelm in the past, and that's why I'm glad that I found BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, like they did for me. And you can connect with them in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there are licensed professional counselors who are specialized in a variety of fields, including stress, anxiety, sleeping, grief, LGBT matters, family conflicts, anger, and more. Anything you share is confidential, it's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable, and the service is available for clients worldwide. BetterHelp's also committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed, and that's had to happen to me before. Not through anything else other than scheduling. But they make it super easy. I want you to start living a happier life today. So as a listener of the Productivityist podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/timecrafting. Join over 1 million people, including myself, who've taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/timecrafting. Do it today. In our fast-paced world, things change constantly, and errors in messaging often have significant consequences. Well, you can keep it consistent and accurate with Text Expander, which is one of my favorite tools, and I am so happy that they are sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Text Expander lets you make new approved messaging available to every team member instantly, with just a few keystrokes, ensuring your team remains consistent, current, and accurate. Get your message right every time. Expand content that corrects your spelling and keeps your language consistent with just a few keystrokes, and your team members will consistently know the right message for the right person at the right time without relying on memory or copy and paste. I have to say that Text Expander has powered my productivity for many years, and it will continue to do so. It is a fantastic tool that I believe is an integral part of your productivity toolkit, whether you are an individual or you work with teams. Listeners of the Productivities podcast will get 20% off their first year. All you need to do is visit textexpander.com/podcast and get that 20% discount. So again, go to textexpander.com/podcast, choose the Productivityist podcast from the drop-down menu, and you'll get 20% off your first year of Text Expander. You want to keep it consistent, and you want to keep it accurate. You want to keep all that happening with your messaging, and you can do that with Text Expander. Again, visit textexpander.com/podcast and get that 20% discount today. And now, let's get back to the show.
In a finite game, there is a winner and a loser. And a lot of times that's the mindset that people are bringing to their work. It's a very Western culture thing of right. Like, I need to win business, you know, all right, I need to win the day. And based on that, like, there is like, well, this is how you win and this is how you lose. And a lot of times you win is like, I won because I finished all the things on my to-do list. Well, and then when you don't do that, then you felt like you lost.
But you're never, like, but you're that, never going to be done. You're never going to be done.
You're never.
The to-do list never ends. Like, if you really,
it doesn't.
So why do you even try? Like, do the best you can, But you can't win because there will always, if you finish everything on your to-do list, it means you're gone. Like, you can't do it anymore because you're no longer here, right?
Yes.
And so you're right. So many people try to, I mean, I like the concept of winning the day, but people take that too literally, where it's
they do.
To me, it's like bring your best self. Bring your A game. Maybe that's what it is. Bring your A game. But you better know what the game is.
And the rules. Right? And the rules of the game. Yeah. And that, again, goes by the whole thing about this is a marathon. And if you're running a marathon with a mindset of you're running a 100-meter dash, you're not going to survive. That's the main thing.
Right.
And it goes back to the whole thing about having purposeful play. And purposeful play and having things that you enjoy makes the journey more bearable. Because the thing that, and it's starting to change, but I hear a lot of times where people are using the fact that they worked so many hours as a badge of honor.
Right.
And, they're in the trenches and all this sort of war metaphor.
Hustle and all that stuff, right? Yeah, totally.
I'm all about working hard. I'm all about doing my best. But at the end of the day, for what?
Well, and I think that when we actually were both at, I think we were both at Mark and Angel's event. Well, maybe not. This would have been were you the one in Florida? Were you the
Florida? Yeah.
Remember I talked about being lively? Forget hustle, be lively. And what's interesting is the reason I say that is I'm not against hustle. I think that the problem is that hustle can be both I'm going to work hard, but it can also, the other meaning of the word hustle is a con, right? Like it's a con, right? Like you've been hustled. And what's, some people would say, oh yeah, like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about hustle all the time. But if you actually see him speak and look at his stuff, his idea of hustle is about working hard. It's not about working nonstop. It's about, he definitely looks like he is, but he's also putting stuff out there when he's sleeping. He's got such a body of work, but he also, I've seen him speak where he talks about patience. And I think some people get this idea of if I hustle, things are going to happen right away. And that's just not true. If it happens, you got lucky. Something happened, it was serendipitous, whatever, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't hustle. And I think that's what happens too. It's like, it never happened for me, so I'm just going to go back to the way I was. No. Understand, I think people like words to mean something more than sometimes what they mean. Like, inbox zero means I was productive. Does it? I won the day. Okay, what does that mean? Really think about it. And the more that you and I talk, and especially, is it true that if you think about things and adopt and know the rules of the game, would it not feel that you're playing every single day rather than, you know what I mean? Like, it feels
there
like
you go.
You're
yes.
playing. You're just, life is about play, not about work. And if there's that old adage, if you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life. I mean, maybe that's where that kind of comes into, no pun intended, play.
You're absolutely correct. And another thing to think about is there's a quote, the opposite of work isn't play. The opposite of play isn't work. The opposite of play is depression.
Right.
In that, you're right. When you're in, as researcher Mihai Csikszentmihalyi talks about, when you're in that state of flow, it's like you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You're challenged just enough. It's time box because you have a certain amount of time you're doing it, but it feels like the time's going by like that. Now, for the people who are talking about, what about those tedious things that I have to do that maybe, are either above or below your skill set and you have to do it. Well, this is, again, we're bringing the power of play and purposeful play into the mix. We'll make it that much more bearable, and it will actually tap into your own superpowers. A wise woman once said, for every job that must be done, you add a bit of fun and snap, the job's a game.
Kids, that's what we tell kids, make a game out of it, right? If they don't want to do something, say make a game out of it, and you gamify it, and then it doesn't feel like you're working. And if more people, as we get close to wrapping up, I want to just address the idea of, if more people adopt this kind of mentality, I think that their lives are going to be that much better. The journey is going to be that much, like you said, more bearable. But if someone wants to do this, if they're like, you know what, this sounds like I'm in, what's the first step that you think they need to take to kind of head down that path?
Well, I used to be on this thing about like, well, you need to change your mindset. You need to change your mindset. And it can be with decades of conditioning. It can be super challenging overnight to be like, oh, you know what? I heard this guy, Garrett, like what you said with the mixtape. Like, mm-hmm. like this is, if this is the first sort of soundbite that you're hearing from me, you know, you're not going to immediately adopt what I call like a playful mindset. So it's all about in the action. I challenge you as a playful experiment, because when you experiment with something, when you have a challenge, it may work, it may not. So it just allows things to be on like low stakes, because this may not work for you. This may not be your cup of tea, by all means, but this is my challenge for you. You heard us talk about the Pomodoro, have a 5-minute thing. Have first and foremost, get a playlist. What are the things that bring you joy? What are the things that light you up? But let's take it a step further. In the book, Super Better by researcher Jane McGonigal, she talks about for every game, there is some sort of skill that you learn. And if you can understand what that is, you're going to reap the benefits. So think about what are some activities that you can do within five to 10 minutes that is not surfing the web, you know, checking social media that you enjoy, and think about what, you know, what sort of skills are you learning? For example, you could, you know, some people like phone games and I'm cool with that. You know, again, time boxed and, you know, done responsibly, it actually will help you. So for example, you know, what about Candy Crush? You know, if you did 5 minutes of Candy Crush, what sort of skill are you learning? Well, you're probably learning about how to make decisions. You're probably learning how to be resilient when a sticky situation. All right, cool. Guess what? This is the brain gym right now. You spent 5 minutes at the brain gym. And so my challenge to you is you have a playlist. What are the things that you're going to do? You have the break. Experiment with it. And after the break, be honest with yourself. How do you feel now? And if it worked, great. If not, try something else. But experiment with that for a short period of time and see how it affects your productivity. That is my challenge for you.
Gary, this has been great. We could talk a lot more, but
we could.
But I think the other thing people can do if they want to increase the quality of the mixtape, the tape that you've presented to them today, is they can join us at the Big Ready. I've talked a little bit about at the top of the show, but you are actually presenting a workshop at the Big Ready.
Yes.
On play. And if you can join us, of course, it's live on Tuesday, February 2nd. If you can't join us live, that's okay, because we're recording all of the keynotes and all of the workshops and all of the panels. So if you live in Europe, let's say, and you don't want to be up at 9 a.m. Pacific time, then you can always, you know, join us in the recording and, you know, throughout the day if you decide to come in a little bit later. But not only that, if you decide that you're going to go to a panel and you buy a ticket during Gary's workshop, guess what? You can take the workshop after, or vice versa. You can go to Gary's workshop and listen to the panel that's happening at the same time. I'm really excited. And I'm super happy that you're going to be presenting at the Big Ready. I know we've had the opportunity on a bunch of occasions to kind of work together. There's a thing that you did at World Domination Summit with Gary Hirsch a number of years ago that was just amazing. And as an improviser, I totally fell in love with it, and just the goosebumps and magic of that. And we've chatted about that before. I'm not going to spoil it. I think it's available. You can watch it on Vimeo. Okay. Or did it only happen in that event?
It only happened in that event. There's very few actual recordings of it.
Wow. So it's like it was lightning in a bottle. Gary, where can people find you and keep up with you so they can play with you in the future?
Yeah, you can go to my website, breakthroughplay.com, where I have all kinds of strategies to use play as a way to level up your life. Or you can look for me on social media. This is Gary Ware. I'm really easy to find.
Gary, thanks so much for taking the time today to join me on the Productivityist podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mike.
I waited far too long to have this conversation with Gary and share it with you on the podcast. I'm glad I finally did, and I hope you got a lot out of it. You can learn everything about what we had to discuss through the show notes, and of course check out what Gary has to offer through breakthroughplay.com. Now, if you don't want to miss episodes featuring other guests that have appeared at the Big Ready or other people I've shared the stage with, then I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. You can hear past episodes where I talk to people who I have shared the stage with before, as well as a plethora of other amazing people. And also, you'll get to hear what else is coming down the pipeline. And trust me, there are a lot of great episodes and conversations coming down the pipeline. But the easiest way for you to hear those is to hit that subscribe button in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this episode right now. Make a point of subscribing. That way you don't miss a single episode. That's it for this episode. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist Podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. See you later.